Good morning and welcome to Sunday at Faith Springs Baptist Church. Hello, y'all. Uh-oh, the world's fixing to come to an end.
Say this, just for you, just for you.
Woo! We must not be Baptists.
Well, you notice the Baptist Carter's fall back there.
Yes, that's why we're up here.
Good to see everybody. We're just going to have a good time. We've got Christmas songs we're going to do today, and I did make some set a copy for you, but I think we all know these, but I'm just glad to be alive. I don't know about you. God is good all the time, and we're just going to kind of worship him in song and take up some offering. And okay, now wait, you're not on camera if you're going to talk. Need to be over here. So the whole world can see you. What's going on?
We need you to hang around for a few minutes afterward. We have something we want to discuss.
Now that's what you call cereal.
Well, that always puts the fear of God in you, because when that happens at the office, usually your key won't open the door the next morning. maybe I get fired today. Okay, God bless. Have no idea what that's about. Well, I do. I think today's my 9th anniversary of being here, but I don't know if that's what that's about or not. But anyway, let's just sing a little bit. We're just gonna take some time and. In a busy time of the year, it's important to understand what God's all about, what the season's all about. Last week we talked in the sermon, and I don't know if y'all listen or not, but I do, that God uses unexpected time, adjustments, for us to sit back and go, okay, this isn't what I was expecting, but, and then God blesses through that. And we're going to talk about now, this today, that he not only uses unexpected times, but he uses unexpected people. And we're right in the middle of that. So let's just sing a little bit. And we always want to start the Christmas season, I think, with the same song.
Oh, adventure soon, and have an adventure soon.
You can do the little Perry Como, little trill on the cross. You know, you don't get to do that with any other songs during the season. Those are hard songs to play, though, Sharon, aren't they? Christmas songs I love, but to play them are rough anyway, especially when you play like I do. If you have the bulletins, I want to share with you what's going on. And if you haven't been in the back, in the back 40, get back to the back 40 sometime. Just be careful. It's kind of muddy and wet and nasty back there, but they do have a nice path going back there. Pretty well upstairs is done. Downstairs, this whole side over here is going to be done probably this week. All the kids' side. Looks like the plumbing's getting close to being installed and everything's finished there. The major thing is we're going to have to dig underneath, and I bought me a miner's hat, so we're going to have to dig underneath the parking lot and underneath the highway. That's the next big project we have to do. So nobody on O'Day will like us because we will shut down traffic to one lane and probably cut a piece of the highway out in that process and re-asphalt. So I have my little trowel and quickcrete. Quickcrete will do that, right? You can't hurt that road. Good. Okay, we'll see about that. Famous last words. But anyway, that's going to be what we're going to probably try to get done before Christmas is what we're shooting for. We thought, if not, it'd be right around that. Once that's there, they can test the water, get it permitted, and the sewer lines and all that. And we're darn close. While they're doing that, we're trying to get the buffing guy here to buff up the floor and show us what it's going to look like, and then let us approve that. And we let Robert and his manpower build the stage and some last touches up, and then we'll blast through the wall. I got a half a piece of dynamite. I think I'll work on that. We're going to bust through that wall and have a big celebration. So we're getting close. So just want to thank you for that. We had a, and I don't want to be premature in this, but I just want to let you know that if there's any last of the year giving that you need to do to help you out tax-wise, we can't think of a better place. And we had an awesome gift this week, anonymous gift of $100,000 to the building fund. And I don't know who that is. I will pick that up in the morning. They say it's all in pennies, but I'll take it. I'll take off my shoes and socks and I'll count it. But it'll pick up a check from the attorney tomorrow. We won't pass it around like we did last time. But anything that y'all can do, that helps out tremendously. It takes a load off. It does not complete the project by any means because we are largely in debt. So, but it does kind of give us some breathing room, and anything that you all can do in those last 3 weeks of the year to help us out, and it would help you out also tax-wise, we would greatly appreciate that. And I don't believe in the 9 years I've been here, I've ever ran into a group of people that love people more than what we do and give more like people I have never met before in my life. And from the bottom of my heart, God's good, but God sure uses you all. And thank you for being responsible and obedient to him to continue to bless. God's got something big for us back here. But more importantly, God's got something big for us in our family, in our church family. And and thank you for all the cards and the things that I got this week in the mail for being sick. They said, we just couldn't believe you were there. I don't miss church because this is family. And this is my family. And I love you guys dearly, dearly, dearly. So thank you for all of that. We are in the middle of Lottie Moon. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's the back page here. All that information is on the little desk as you go by. It's right next to the Colossians, right here on this front table. Feel free to grab that, do the week of prayer, and all of those things, and we would appreciate that. Any other announcements that I've missed? Any? Okay. We will be doing a business meeting. Do we have that official yet? We do. Okay, what's the official date then?
December 9th.
Oh, it's in here? You know, we pay extra good money, but I would think that I would read it. That's why she puts it in print here.
Will it be here?
I don't know. Let me look. Okay, call business meeting. Wednesday? No, it will be all on Zoom so everybody can participate from home. They will present the budget. The budget will be handed out here on Sunday, though, right? Oh, you have it now? Okay, so if you want a copy of the budget, feel free to grab it. We will talk about the budget Wednesday night at 6:30 online, Zoom. That way everybody can be there. And then a week from Wednesday night online, we will vote the budget. There'll be no discussion on that Wednesday the 16th except yes or no. That's when special business meetings you can only talk about. So if you have any questions, this Wednesday night will be the time to ask questions. There's not many questions, are there, Lillian and Jane and those that are on the budget committee, Becky, Gwen, when you have no money, you don't have much budget. So, but anyway, we're going down to the bare knuckles. Yes, Esther, what you got there?
I don't have the meeting ID number yet, but when you get that to me, I
will do that first thing in the morning. Before the sun comes up, I'll send a Zoom meeting ID out. And it'll be the same one for both weeks. That's why, all my Zoom meetings are the same numbers anyway. So we'll do that. And then you'll have that. Everybody can pass that around so we can be there. We'd love to have you. Even, the friends, family, whatever, just be there. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. And the budget's here. And Jack is always, Jane, Lillian, Becky, if you have any questions, Gwen, feel free to ask them the questions about the money.
Pray for the man. They're bringing Raleigh into the world on Wednesday.
Oh, Carl and Jennifer, are bringing in the
Raleigh.
The baby will be in Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So Wednesday. Raleigh is going to be delivered Wednesday at Women's Hospital. So be praying for the man's this week. And I can't wait till we get to see the little baby for the first time. So be praying for that. And thank you for the gifts that you gave to that. Also, like, I'm glad you mentioned prayer. So keep praying for them. My son last night let us know that him, Adisa, his wife, you know, Matt, James Matthew, Orion and Uriah, Adisa's mom and Adisa's dad all have COVID. And Adisa's dad's really bad in the hospital. And they all went to one event and everybody got it. And a family thing. And be praying for those people that are dealing with that. And the Manleys, they're kind of going back into the dip of COVID a little bit, dealing with that. That's the problem with COVID. It goes like this and then you feel really good. And then all of a sudden it spikes again and inside your own body. So be praying for them, but pray for my son and my little grandbabies. I appreciate that. Okay. I'm talking way too long. Just thank goodness you're getting it during the announcements, because if not, you're going to be getting it during the sermon. I don't know which one you'd want, but hey, we got some people that want to take up some offering this morning. We'll give God some glory and praise, and doing that via offering. We got a full house today. Okay. It's amazing what people do for Annie's hot chocolate. You want one or two or three?
I guess just three.
Okay, you want three?
Yeah.
Oh, she's going to. Jerry Perez, it's good to see you. Come on up here where everybody can see you on. You know, God don't have a webcam on his, but he'll see you. That way everybody else can too. If you just bless the offering, sir, I appreciate it.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before your presence this morning, Father God. We thank you that we can gather here in one spirit, Father God. And just to allow us just to come together in love, Father God. And we ask that you bless this offering and these tithings that are going to be made, Father God. And may they be used to honor your kingdom. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
may not know the verse of this. I can do the verses. You can sing along with me if you know it, but you'll know the chorus, I'm sure. In a little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child of day, and the sky was bright with a holy light, and the place where Christ was laid. Because the meaning of that is God's with us. Without that, there would be that not only physical distance, but the spiritual distance would have been there. There would have been that connection that we had. So the meaning of this season is that we have a Savior that has came in the middle of a dark time, dark ages, and flickered a light that would forever shine for us today. So we actually have a connection. So it's not just about the little kids here and the little Christmas presents that you get. You know, we love doing that. But it's about that awesome gift that Jesus Christ gave to us. And when we get out of sync with what Christ has come to do, you miss everything about Christmas. You miss everything about what this season's all about. Will somebody replace my sermon notes with the budget? Okay. If you need the budget, here's the budget here. And I believe, Esther, you have some back there? Okay, fantastic. I won't talk about money anymore. We'll talk about a gift that's even greater. Okay. Get your Bibles out. Because don't take my word for it. Did he? Gilbert, did you watch the fight the other night, the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I put $50 down on that to watch that. Huh? You should have came over to the house. That was fun. Don't you love, although anytime you get in the ring with Mike Tyson, whoever you are, you're an underdog. Even though it was a draw, we know better than that, right? Roy Jones Jr. couldn't even hardly stand up. At the post-fight interview, Roy was like this, trying to stand up straight. He couldn't even stand up straight. But they call it a draw because it was an exhibition anyway. I love rooting for underdogs. One of my favorite shows is Hoosiers. Every time it's on, I watch Hoosiers. I'm not a big basketball fan per se, but the gymnasiums and the pictures and the way they did, you know, Gene Hackman and all those that played in that is just like, wow, brings me back to those days when he was in the gym and the cheerleaders were, I got spirit, I, you know, how about you? And, you know, they're, you know, all that kind of stuff. I just love that. And them being that Cinderella team going to the Indiana State Championship to win. I just love that kind of interaction when there's an underdog that may come back and win. When God comes in during what this season's all about, talked about time last week, comes at unexpected times. It's never on our timing. It's always on his. It took 3 years for me to learn that. And I'm still not completely learned from that, but I'm trying real hard. He also uses people in a way that is unbelievable. To see an important person do something of importance, isn't that big of a deal? But seeing somebody that's ordinary do something extraordinary makes you go, wow. We're going to read the Christmas story. I'm going to kind of preface you up to this because we're looking at it through 4 different weeks of different eyes. So last week was time. This week is people. What all of this means is God isn't looking for a superstar. And I'm glad of that because my star isn't very glittery. My star has the tips cut off it, bent off it. I've got some dings in my star. Not only my physical body, but in my emotional body, in my spiritual body, in every part of my body that you can talk about. God's not looking for somebody that comes in crystal clean. So if you're here today and think you've earned your way to heaven, please talk to me afterwards, because I want to show you in Scripture you didn't even make it close. None of us earned our way to heaven. God's looking for everyday normal people that have been through pains, hurts, habits, accidents, bad choices, bad journeys, bad relationships, bad business decisions. And he says, now, that's who I want to use to change the world. And that's why I think it's so important about our church, is we're a motley crew. We probably have anything possible that can happen to a person somewhere in this room in one of our lives. Some of it may be several different people. One person may have 10 of those things. But God can use us. And it's wonderful when God uses normal, average people to partner with him to do something miraculous. We've seen that. We've seen it time after time, Park Place Baptist Church. Read our history. How God has used normal people, loving people, and did miraculous things. Can you do that today? Oh, yeah. What this means is that God can do miracles through you. Can't believe it? Let me see if I can prove it to you. Point number one. God calls average people to be part of his redemptive Christmas story. Look how he did this. Mary and Joseph are average Jewish people living in not the best part of town, living in a town called Nazareth. Oh, you've lost bonus points today. Mary is more likely a teenage, young teenage Jewish girl. Obscure, insignificant, not of any importance, didn't have a family name. Oh, she was a Kennedy, a Rockefeller. No. Joseph wasn't even a carpenter in the king's palace. He was just a carpenter, a workman. Nazareth wasn't a place that you would think anything that really would have anything special come out of it. You ever have places like that? Curtis, we grew up in a place like that. Curtis, when we had Curtis, we moved to Kell. We always said Kell was just south of hell. Kell is where he had his childhood. Nothing, I don't think there's any sign that there's an entrance of Kell, the home of. I don't think that's there. But you remember Nazareth? How about John 1:46? You had to turn it, but there's a verse in John 1:46 that goes like this. Nathaniel was talking. He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So it was one of those places that had the reputation of not being the best folks, the fanciest folks. When we observe what God's story is throughout the Bible, we see most often that God uses people that are very average. Noah, Abraham, David. How many selections did they have to go through before they found David? He uses examples of average, normal people to accomplish something of great regard. And look who Jesus picked. Okay. Let's say, you have just been chosen to lead the United States on a special mission. You can pick anybody you want for the wisdom in this world to get this mission accomplished. I don't think I'm going to be sitting by my desk phone waiting for it to ring for you to call me. You're going to call Bill Gates. You're going to call, I was going to say Steve Jobs, you'd have to bring him up out of the dead.
Elon Musk?
I wouldn't even give him one of his cars, let alone call him. You're going to call those people, Mark Cuban? Jesus, when he was walking on the face of this earth, had a choice of anybody on the face of this earth to be his inner core leadership team. Where did he go to get the people? Fishermen, tax collectors, which were called zealots. People that were out of the norm that you would not consider, would not have very many commas, initials, and periods behind their name. MD, PhD, LMS, JW, whatever. None of that was on any of these guys, with the exception maybe Luke was. He may have graduated. I'm sure he did. So why do I even point that out? Because I constantly hear people say every day they're not qualified to do anything for God. Who feels that way today? I do, because that's why he's going to use me. If you stand up and go, oh, I think I got something to give. I think I can do him a favor today. You just disqualified yourself from being used by God. So we have to put ourselves in a mold of, I'm not qualified. I don't have anything that he needs, except, and we're going to talk about what that is in a minute. I have people tell me I'm a nobody. I can't do anything. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a student. I'm just a truck driver. I'm just a small business owner, whatever. How can God use me, and why would he even pick me to be the one that's used? Great question. I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Fine. 1 Corinthians 1:26. I wish I was Philip Plummer. I wouldn't even have to look it up in my Bible. You just go, oh, yeah, that says this. Y'all awake? Here's a little letter A under the first point, okay? So if you take outlines or whatever, here's a little A. Average people are much more powerful witness to the world. Because 1 Corinthians 1:26-28 goes like this. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that's y'all. The Texas version. Remember, y'all, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. That few of you were. Remember, see what it says. Verse 27. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he uses things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 28. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all. put my name there. Put your name there. Consider nothing at all. That's me. And use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. It's saying here, God's kingdom, God's rule, God's way works by different rules. No one is surprised when great people do great things. But when weak people become strong, uneducated people become the wisest people in the room. When poor people become rich in the kingdom of God, the world is completely upside down and confused. Like, I don't understand it. That's why God gets the glory. That's why God gets the glory. The kingdom of God operates on a complete different set of values than what the world does. And God loves to demonstrate through people like that for his most miraculous work ever. That's why the Apostle Paul said, not many wise, powerful, or wealthy. There's a few, but not many. The Christmas story of Mary and Joseph demonstrates to us that God chooses people just like you to be part of what he's doing. Did you hear that? The story of Mary and Joseph gives me the understanding that he can use you just as powerfully in something that he wants to accomplish today. So I don't know if anybody's told you this today, but you're important. God's got something he wants to do through each of you. And don't start checking off things that, oh, not me. Not me. Because you see that in the Bible. Moses, oh, I can't even talk. I get nervous in front of crowds. No. He had quite a resume. God still used him. Why will God use Faith Springs Baptist Church? Because God's going to display his power in the most unlikely place. In the most unlikely place, God's going to display his power in a group of people that can't do it on our own. He's going to do something special. Number two, the power of God is always, and this is the key, the result of obedience. It's not that you have to have all the degrees. It's not that you have to have all the Bible memorized. It's not the fact that you have to be able to be qualified. He just wants you to be obedient. Mary and Joseph simply did exactly what God asked them to do. Luke 1:38. We're doing okay? We got about 13 minutes. Good. I've only lost two of you, but that's okay. I'll just put you down in the category of you must be highly medicated. Oh, boy. I love y'all. Let me just show you that I'm not lying to you, okay? Not about the people asleep, because I'll let them sleep, all right? They've had a long night.
They knew they were coming here today.
Huh?
They knew they were coming.
I'm glad they're here. That's all I have about them. Just so you don't think I'm lying to you. Mary's obedience is found here in Luke 1:38. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you just said to me come true. And the angel left. And you've all heard the story. Angel shows up, Mary, you are greatly favored. You're thought of pretty highly. you're going to have a special baby. But wait. I'm a virgin. What are you talking about? I've never been with a guy. How's that going to happen? And I don't know if he pulled out a medical textbook. I don't think so. I don't think he said, let me show you a 3-point PowerPoint slide. It's going to happen like this. This time, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. This is how it's going to happen. No. All those questions were still there. All she did was show her obedience. Would you do that with your physical body to God? We don't even do it with our time, let alone something that's going to be living with us for the rest of our life like a kid. We all know what that damage that can do, right? Sorry, Curtis. I love you. He just shakes his head. That was Mary's obedience. Joseph's obedience, you'll find a few verses before. A few books before. Matthew 1:24. Joseph has a dream. That, hey, there's an angel over here telling Mary what's going on. Joseph, it's going to be all right. Hang with me, young man. I'll get you through this. I'll get you through this. And Joseph's obedience goes like this. Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up from that dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Let me tell you what we would do. You would get on your phone and you would go into Google and figure out what it would say about a holy spiritual conception. About even believing, is it possible for a woman to be pregnant without being with a man? Google. I don't recommend you do that because it would probably come up with some pictures you don't want to see. We wouldn't do that, would we? But Mary and Joseph were obedient. They just said, that's what you want. That's what's going to happen. The A under number two is supernatural power is not the result of human effort. Write this one down. Human effort gets in the way of God's power. That ought to be, that was worth getting out of bed for. Human effort gets in the way of God's power. Matter of fact, I'll push it out of the way. Oh God, no, I need to wake you up. Just get out of the way. I got this handled. And then, boy, we walk right into a wall and go, whoa, I wasn't expecting that to happen. And God's up there going, great, when are you going to learn? Come on. So we can't do it by human. Zechariah 4:6, write it down. Then he said to me, this is what the Lord said to Zerubbabel. It is not by force, not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In John 6:63, the spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Nothing. We put a lot of emphasis on force, power, effort. And I've had people time after time after time tell me, we can't do this. This ain't going to happen. In the old building, I had people come up and tell me, ain't going to work. Nobody will come. You blew this one, Pastor. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was God's idea. God's kingdom doesn't work on human effort. And I have about 30 things on that, but I won't because I got to get through. The B under number two is obedience unleashes power in your life. If you'll just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And then he never ask you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to do it or the funds to finance it. If I already had it, I don't even know if I got it. If I already had it here, I wouldn't need him to bless it. If we already had it in the bank, oh, I'm going to pull my ear off. If we already had it in the bank, would we expect or need people of faith to keep giving? No, we would take it for granted. Matter of fact, we'd step back and go, ah, do it again. Put another. We would spend it foolishly. Because it's God's. All he wants us to, and each person in this place, is for us to be obedient with what he's asked us specifically to do. The thing that unleashes that power in the natural world is obedience to what God has said. I got a whole bunch under that one too. But I won't, because my son went like this. That means, shut up, Dad, you got 5 minutes. Number three. Every person, and you just thought you were here to put an hour in. Every person has a role in God's story. Every one of you. As honestly as I am sitting here in front of you, if he can use somebody like me, I know he can use somebody like you. Every person has a role. Don't believe me? Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Ephesians 4:1. For you have been called by God. Each of you have. Don't just get a chubby preacher to do it for you. Each of you have. I'm just responding to the calling. Annie's just responding to her calling. Nancy's just responding to her calling. Candy's, I go right around. Everybody, we're just responding to your, what's your calling? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into a partnership with his son, Jesus Christ. You have been called into a partnership. I love that. These are all NLT, so don't think that I'm trying to find a different version to say what I say. It's all New Living Translation. Ephesians 2:10. Says, for we are God's masterpiece. I read this every morning. Memorize this. I have this in my, because I need this in my gun holder every day. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do all things he's planned for us a long time ago. So real quick, I only got, what, a couple minutes? 3 minutes. Well, I can do it. All you have to do is accept your role, just like Mary. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said to me come true. Two, discover your role. If you're willing to accept it, now you have to move forward to discover. Ephesians 4:6 is the last verse and we're done. Look what happens when we all do this. Ephesians 4:16. I don't know if I said that right a while ago. Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How much time I got? 2 minutes? Oh, I got it. I have time to spare. Three ways that verse tells us to do. God will help you with the process. He makes you fit perfectly. He will help you find the perfect fit. Two, your unique role will help you get people serving him. In that uniqueness, God will use that to help people, other people grow. And three, your role contributes to helping the entire church family, the church body, to be healthy. That's how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Dear Lord, we come to you and I thank you for who you are. I'm glad you're not looking for the perfect person, because there are none. I'm glad you're not looking for a person that is almost okay, because I don't qualify for that either. I'm glad you looked down and saw this mess of clay, and you said, I think I can make a vessel out of that that'll hold me. That'll hold your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. If I would just be obedient to you, Lord, the power takes over. And it doesn't become about me. It becomes about you. Lord, be with us during this season. Thank you for this family. Thank you for every person listening this morning online. And Lord, if there's any decisions that need to be made, if anything, Lord, that they're making in their own mind that I want to fulfill what I've been called to do and be obedient, Lord, let them reach out. Cause them to call or email or something. Lord, not to leave this building until they said, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. We give you the praise and glory. Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Faith Springs Live. We'll see you next week, 10 o'clock Central Time. God bless you.